This is Death, Sex, and Money from Slate. I'm Anna Sale. Our show has just joined Slate this year, as you may have heard, and as we celebrated with our revival episode in your feed last week. The team and I are busy recording and crafting new episodes that we will start sharing with you very soon. But in the meantime, as we put down new roots and keep refining our mission for this new era of the show, we're going to share some episodes with you that really, to me, exemplify the spirit of Death, Sex, and Money and what we want to do together with our listeners. And as you listen to these classic episodes, here's what I want you to pay attention to. We talk about death, sex, and money here, yes, but I'm most proud of how we do that. We are a show that tries to get to the heart of things, that doesn't pull punches when there's a tough or delicate question. I'm going to ask it. And I'm also going to give our guests room to explain, to try to help me and by extension us, the listeners, understand something specific about their experience, to make it concrete in all of our imaginations. And that objective, to listen closely, to hear the moments of transition and difficult choices that have made up each person's life, that's affected how I move through the world. And I feel like this episode that we're sharing today, that we first made in 2017, it really shows that. What happens when I look up and ask some questions about what's going on with all the other people moving around the community where I live? Are you in school? Are you out of school? Or what stage of life are you in now?
Figuring it out. Uh-huh. Just like everybody else driving for Uber.
My show is called Death, Sex, and Money, and it's about...
Death, Sex, and Money.
Huh? Death, Sex, and Money, yes.
That sounds so scary.
Well, it's actually, it's about the things that everyone goes through, but that we have trouble kind of talking about.
You're not going to put this on TV, huh?
Hello?
Hi, Ahmad. This is Anna. You just confirmed my pickup?
Yes, ma'am. I'm coming.
Yeah. I just have a quick question for you. I'm a radio reporter, and I'm doing interviews with Uber drivers while I take rides today. Are you open to answering just a few questions about the kinds of conversations you have with passengers while you drive?
Like, what kind of questions you gonna ask?
Just kind of like, why you drive and what it's like driving around and the kinds of people you meet and sorts of conversations you have.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, cool. I'll see you in a few minutes. Bye. Producer Katie Bishop and I recorded interviews for this episode over a couple of days, an Uber ride after Uber ride, all around the Bay Area.
Hello.
Hello, Anna. How you doing?
We rode in the back seat and turned drivers' cars into recording studios.
What are those so big microphones?
Your microphones.
You're scaring me now.
At the time, Uber was in the news a lot, particularly its leadership and corporate culture. But I wanted to know more about the drivers and what keeps them on the road.
I wanted to take my wife to Spain, so I started doing this.
I didn't want to just sit home.
And I have money when I need to buy something for my little son or for my house.
We also heard about the downsides of driving for Uber.
In order to make full-time money, you have to work like 11 to 12 hours.
I drive more at nighttime, so I know how to handle the drunk people.
There's a lot of competition, and, you know, it's kind of difficult to get a ride sometimes.
With Uber, you order up a car, and all of a sudden, you're alone with a stranger. And over the 10, 15, 20 minutes you spend together, conversations can get surprisingly personal.
We had a pretty bad experience with parents. Like, you know, did not get enough love when we were younger.
Everyone has a story about what happened in their lives that got them driving for money.
I was working mortgages 2008, lost my job.
I'm like the jack of all trades.
I've worked with people like Justin Bieber.
No way.
Before I worked in the restaurant, the Mexican restaurant.
When you first got here, you had a different job?
Yeah, pizza.
Pizza?
The little pizza, yeah. This job is better because this job, pizza don't talk.
That's what led us to a grocery store parking lot, standing around with microphones out, headphones on, waiting for Ahmad. I think this is Ahmad.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
I know, this is strange, isn't it? So how long have you been driving Uber?
1.5 years.
Uh-huh. And why'd you start?
I just started because I thought it's more money in the Uber.
And how many hours a week do you do it, generally?
When I started, I was working like 70 hours. And now,
70?
Yeah, 70 hours.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm doing like 50 to 55 hours.
Like on a really good week, what's the most that you've made?
I have made $2,500 a week.
Wow.
Before. And right now, I'm just making like $1,500, maybe like $1,200.
What brought you to the Bay Area originally?
I just moved from Pakistan. So when I moved here, I had an uncle here in Union City. Mm-hmm. So I was living with him for a year.
And what kind of work were you doing back then?
I was working for an ice cream store.
Uh-huh.
Ice cream store and the cloth store. There was a cloth store over there.
So you were working like retail?
Yeah, retail.
Sounds like you probably are making a lot more money as an Uber driver than you did at those jobs.
Uber, like if I am doing 8 hours job in any other place, I'm making the same money. The thing is like the Uber, I go for like 12 hours, 14 hours. Even I have worked, like, before 28 hours throughout.
So, really?
Yeah.
Why did you do that? That's a lot of hours in a row.
I know, but, like, when you are new here, you see the people, like, hey, these people are better than me. So I do that, like, I have to make some more money.
Uh-huh. Do you often talk with your riders, or are you quiet?
Before, I used to talk a lot. With the riders, but right now I try to being quiet.
Why did you change?
Because the people in Pakistan, we have a thinking that American people, they are very nice, they are very generous, even more than our people. So that's why I was used to talk a lot with the people. Like I thought you guys like to talk more, and then I realized now they are kind of different people, not that kind of generous.
So your opinion of Americans has shifted?
Have shifted, yeah.
Is that because of interactions you've had, or because
with the people interaction?
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I realized that.
Like you?
Because back then I had a very good opinion about the American people. Like in general, I mean, they are very kindly or whatever you can say. So now it has changed. A little bit, not too much.
Is your life here in the Bay Area, is it like what you imagined when you decided to come?
No. Before moving here, I would have come to America to see things, how the things are. Then I would choose like if I want to move here or not. But I did the wrong thing. I just packed my whole luggage and came to America. And I said like, fuck. This is not, it's not a good life, like how I imagine.
It wasn't just drivers new to California who told me life here wasn't what they expected. A driver named Matthew is from here, and 10 years after graduating high school, he's trying to make enough money to stay. He's worked as a server at a grocery store and is trying to break into coding now. He's been driving for Uber since October.
Like for me and all my friends, it's just like, nobody's making it. Everybody's in debt. Like so all my friends that decided to go for the 4 year and they didn't really come for money and they pulled out student loans, they're just reeling from it. Like they're not doing any better than I am, and I didn't go that route at all.
What'd you do right after high school?
I did try and go to DVC. I went there for about a year or two. And
What's that?
Diablo Valley College. It's like a community college.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I just never really figured out exactly what I wanted to do until it was a little too late. I did try and take coding stuff at that school, And about 2 weeks in, I was like, I could teach myself more at home alone in one day than I've learned in this class in 2 weeks. So I just decided to drop out of that class and just do it on my own.
Have you had somebody who has, like, who you go to for advice when you're trying to figure out next steps?
Yeah, I totally have I'm someone's Padawan. He's taken me under his wing. He's kind of a friend that I met through a friend, and he's in the coding business.
Padawan, what's that a reference to?
Star Wars?
I should know that.
Jedi.
Sorry.
Padawan.
Sorry, God. That's embarrassing. And does he know that that's how you refer to him?
Yeah, 100%.
Uh-huh. And what's, like, have you had a conversation with a passenger that like, you think back on? Has there been anything that's, like, a moment where you're like, wow, that changed the way I thought about something?
There's definitely been a bunch of tiny ones. It's more fascinating to realize all these different people have different destinations, kind of thing. Like, I'll talk to them and I'll drop one person off that's going to, they're attending a wedding or something, and they bring that energy and that vibe kind of into the car. And then 15 minutes later, they're gone, and somebody gets in and you're driving them to, like, their mom's grave. I've totally done that.
Wow.
It's crazy. So you get these different energies that come into the car, and you just kind of like, oh, that's awesome, you're going to a wedding, that's so cool. And the next person gets into the car and they're having the worst day ever, and they're just kind of staring out the window.
Okay, I sell cemetery. I'm a family service counselor.
Really?
And I sell. I also sell solar.
Solar?
Yeah. So I can sell almost anything despite the accent.
This is Evelyn. She's been driving for Uber for about a year, twice a week or so, for extra money. And you sell, like, cemetery plots?
Yes,
to
cemetery
families?
Family service counselor.
Can I ask you about what that's like?
What's that like? It spooked me the first time I went to the cemetery, because I'm a little bit scared, you know, that kind of stuff, the spirit kind of stuff. But I gotten used to it.
Yeah. Are you selling to people who are planning ahead, or are you selling to people who already...
Both.
Uh-huh.
Both. Pre-need and at-need.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah, pre-need when you're planning.
Uh-huh.
For your family or for yourself. At need is when somebody's already passed away.
I imagine it feels really different when it's pre-need or at need. It's like a different experience.
It's almost the same thing. It's just a lot of paperwork.
Uh-huh.
I've been more into real estate side, actually.
Uh-huh.
When the real estate market went down, you know, I slowed down. I lost some properties too, so.
So you got hit.
In 800 feet, turn right onto Harrison Street.
Hit sort of with the downturn and the foreclosure crisis.
Correct. Uh-huh. Correct. Uh-huh.
Yes. Was it investment properties that you lost?
Everything.
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 Oh. So have you been sort of rebuilding since then?
Yeah, rebuilding financially and rebuilding life. Mm-hmm. You know.
When you say you lost everything, what do you mean?
Lost my houses. Houses.
Houses. Huh.
Yes. Income, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and children are growing up. It was a hardship. It was a traumatic experience in my life.
I imagine.
Because I have children with me. You know, I have my grandchildren with me. But hey, life is good. God is good.
To stay on Harrison Street.
Hmm. Do you have a spouse?
Divorced.
Divorced.
Yes.
You're a single woman navigating all of that.
Yeah, navigating the Uber too.
Yeah. Expert navigator. What helped you when it was the scariest?
What helped me?
Yeah.
I think my church. That's when I turn to God.
Yeah.
God has reason for everything.
Do you ever go back to where your old houses were to look at them?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Me and my children go pass by and drive by.
How does it feel to look at it?
I just miss my plants.
Yeah.
Because I love plants, you know. I say, oh, look at my lemon. There's still a lot of fruits.
In 800 feet, keep left to continue on to Bose Avenue.
Does someone live in the house?
Yes.
Now?
It is also Filipinos that bought the house. I want to go back to flipping houses.
It didn't spook you? It didn't scare you after going through that?
You know, this life, it's all a part of life. What you gonna do? You just gonna lay down there and take everything? No, learn how to fight. I learned how to fight.
Coming up, more conversations from the backseat of an Uber. Tell me how to pronounce your first name.
In Nepali accent, you call it Madan.
Madan?
Uh-huh.
So it's okay.
But with American, though, I go Madden.
Man.
I love it. Oh, my God.
From time to time at Death, Sex, and Money, we put together what we've come to call advice panel episodes. We gather a group of varied guests who listen to your stories and questions about something going on in your life, and then weigh in with advice about what one next step could be. We've done episodes about dealing with decision fatigue, about relationship and sex questions, about fear. Remember that one? Steve-O from Jackass was one of our guests. For our next advice show, we want to know if you are considering a big reset in your life, or if you're already in the middle of one and need some advice about some part of it. Are you trying to figure out the timing of when to make a jump? Or are you facing some challenges having made some big adjustment? I often find that I can sense the need for change before I have any idea of what the actual thing I want to change to is, which can make for quite a chicken or egg dilemma. Like, do you make space for something new in your life? Or do you wait to make a big change until you know exactly what you're moving towards? We'll try to help with these kinds of reset questions. Send a voice memo and tell us your name, a bit about the big reset you're considering or in the middle of right now, and what you need advice about. And then send it to us at deathsexmoney@slate.com. And we may use it in an upcoming episode. Again, send us your reset advice questions to our email inbox at deathsexmoney@slate.com. And speaking of resets, you may have heard me say this already, but I want to underline for you that in this transition to Slate for Death, Sex, and Money, you continue to be a really important part of how we make this show, with the stories and the emails you share with us, and also how we pay for it. And there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something new in return when you do it. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Dakota Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. We are also cooking up ideas for other cool things to share with our Slate Plus members, including special ways for us to gather and episodes just for you. Be a part of helping us build a solid foundation for Death, Sex, and Money in our new home by subscribing to Slate Plus. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts or visit slate.com/DSM Plus to get access wherever you listen. Your support matters, and the team really thanks you for joining in. Hello.
How are you?
Good. This is my producer, Katie.
Yeah, how's it going, Katie?
This is Death, Sex, and Money from Slate. I'm Anna Sale. And this is Jeremy. He drives Uber part-time so he and his wife can save up to buy a house.
I do it on my days off and, you know, evenings.
What's your other job?
I'm an engineer at eBay.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, it's a very expensive town to live in. You know, I should have bought 3 years ago when I first started doing it, but I didn't. I waited. Now it's kind of like I'm racing to catch it, but I will never catch up now.
So how long have you lived in the Bay Area?
That's another little twist to this story as well. So I actually live in Colorado, and I fly here for my job. And I rent a place with my brother. So while I'm here, I'm making money on my spare time so we can buy that house.
So how often do you get to see your wife?
Well, I'm going home next week. So I'll go home Wednesday morning and I'll come back Saturday night, because that's I do that about every other month.
Do you have children?
Yeah, I got four.
You have four children?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I was like, gosh, when do you see your family?
Yeah.
But your family is not here, so you're free to work.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, yeah.
How long do you think you will be doing this?
I told my wife I wanted to move this summer because I was like, you know, we'll just find something, you know, wherever it is. Yeah, like just to rent in the interim. But like for sure next year I want to find something to buy. And if not, then sorry, eBay, I'm going to go back to Boulder.
As we talked to drivers over 2 days, it became clear that all of them are in some kind of transition. Uber was no one's plan A.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
How are you?
Doing good.
This is Madden. Madden. He started driving after nursing school didn't work out.
I was unsuccessful on that. I tried it twice.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't make it. So this is the only choice. Past money. Because I wanted to do something and be something.
Yeah. Well, you said, what did you say, money?
Fast.
Fast money.
Yeah.
And where did you grow up?
Actually, I am from Nepal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I studied abroad there in college.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I lived in Chabil, outside of Kathmandu.
No way.
Yeah.
It's so nice to meet, like, you know, American people who had visited Nepal because they have much more broad idea. You know, like you know, most of the American people, they don't visit outside.
Yeah.
But it's really nice to meet someone who has already visited Nepal.
Yeah.
Oh.
And why did you choose to come to the U.S.?
Because my dad, he's uneducated, to be honest, and he's a farmer. So he was thinking more like, you know, his children should not be depending on farm and stuff. So basically, he didn't want his son to be, you know, like him. So, yeah.
When did you first come to the U.S.?
I came here when I was 18.
18. So,
yeah.
So how many years ago was that?
I've been here almost 6.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're not working for fun?
I basically don't have any life. I either drive or sleep or cook food.
What do you cook?
It's called dal.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Dalbat?
Huh? Uh-huh, dalbat.
Yeah, I know.
Anna, right?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, it's interesting. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
You know what's funny? This is, when I was there, there was something about the, I was a student with women and men, and for some reason, when we ate dalbat, which is dal and rice, it's like when we ate dalbat, all of the women gained weight. And so we started calling it bot butt because we were all gaining weight in our hips. So that's what I think about when I think of dalbat.
That is so funny. I love it.
Yeah. Do you think you'll, like, when you think about your life in, like, 10 years, what do you picture? Like, what do you hope for?
In 10 years, I think I'll, myself, having a business.
What kind of business have you thought
about? Probably gas station or, you know, something that generates money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did you want to be a nurse when you were thinking about going
because
to school?
Because I really wanted to help people so bad, but I guess that, you know, I chose the wrong career. Maybe, you know, I didn't know how to learn right. So, or maybe, I don't know what was the worst part I did to, you know, to be unsuccessful in school. You know, since I didn't become a nurse, I think the lady that I'm gonna marry with, she's gonna be a nurse for sure, and she's gonna help our community out.
That's what you'd like.
Yeah.
You're on the market for a nurse.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get married with a nurse from Nepal.
When do you think you'll get married?
Probably planning this summer, Anna.
This summer?
This summer.
Like in a few months?
Uh-huh.
Have you met, do you know who you're
going to
marry?
No, I don't know. it's strange, but I don't know who it's going to be. Yeah.
So right now, are your parents, are they like talking and trying to find potential partners for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about that? That's soon.
I don't know. And like, you know, what they say is parents are always experienced people.
Yeah.
So they know what they are doing.
Do you think your parents have a good marriage?
Uh-huh. They've been married for... Well, I don't know what to tell you because my mom, she left me when I was 5 because, you know, it was a situation where she had to choose between keeping herself safe versus being with us. So she chose to leave family. You know how, like in Nepal, like they do not have, like women do not have that much rights.
Yeah.
As they do have up here. So like, you know, if I was in Nepal, I can do whatever I want, beat her, you know, more like domestic violence, like the man can do whatever the man wants to do.
Yeah.
So she chose to leave family and then just for the sake of her children. My mom, more like she chose her own sister to get married with my dad. And that way, you know, my dad is happy because he wanted to get double marriage. Like,
uh-huh.
They are really not satisfied with just one woman.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And do you have a close relationship with your mother?
Not really, because I haven't seen what she looks like.
Oh, you haven't seen her since you were a kid?
I haven't, because, like, you know, you're afraid of your dad, like, what he's going to do. Because, I mean, I really respect my dad, but I hate him, too. Because he's the one who brought us up here. Because, you know, no Nepalese can think to come to America. It's very expensive. Like, for capital city people, it's not that big. But for us from rural side, it's more like, you know, dream to go to America. So I respect my dad for bringing us up here. But I also hate him because we hadn't seen our mother, what she looks like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but you feel, do you feel nervous to get married?
Oh, kind of nervous and excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it your father who will pick out your wife?
Uh-huh.
What kind of husband do you think you will be? Do you think that you will, do you think you'll be the kind of husband that your father was? Like?
No, definitely not. Because once you get married, like, women should be respected. And that's what I think. Like, once you get married, you should be good with it for the rest of your life. Mm. Yeah. If things doesn't work out, then you really need to solve it. But getting married and beating up the women, it's really not the thing. It's not being a man.
That's Madan.
I am so glad that you did my podcast, and I appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks also to Ahmad, Matthew, Evelyn, and Jeremy, as well as Anna, Mukti, Rizwan, Sharad, Emiliano, and Charles for letting us get into your car with microphones and for the rides. This episode was produced by Katie Bishop and me in 2017 with help from Emily Botine, Jillian Weinberger, and Andrew Dunn. Death, Sex, and Money is now produced by Slate, where our team includes Andrew Dunn, Zoe Azoulay, and Cameron Drews. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer at Slate. Alicia Montgomery is Slate's head of audio. Our theme music is by the Reverend John Delore and Steve Lewis. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We're so glad you're here. You can find us and follow us on Instagram at Death, Sex, Money, and you can find my newsletter at annasale.substack.com. You can also reach out to us anytime to tell us what you think, ask us questions, share a story. Our email inbox is deathsexmoney@slate.com. We love hearing from you. We gave out Death, Sex, and Money stickers before we got out of the car each time. I think Evelyn was the most into it.
Death, Sex, and Money.
Death, Ooh. Sex, and Money.
The money part I like. The death, later on.
Yeah.
I know I want to meet my Lord, but not yet.
I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from Slate.